You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Panducto Quarancast.
Wait, is it to the next episode or is it to this episode?
What? I said this is the next episode.
But it's also this episode. I feel like when you talk about something that's the next, what is up with this dog, man?
She's just doing her dog shit.
Last time we did this, we didn't own a dog.
That's true. So when the last episode was recorded, we were carefree, we were fancy free.
Just had nothing but ourselves to look after.
Yep. And now we have a dog. And
Hades, queen of the canine underworld.
No, she's Hades, dog of the underworld.
She's not the queen?
Oh, she's dog because it's like the god of the underworld, but the dog of the underworld.
Oh.
You didn't get that until now? I kept saying that.
I just forgot. Well, yeah, she's pretty fucking cute, to be real with you.
Yeah, she's real, real cute.
She's kind of breaking out of her shell. Started out kind of subdued. Mm-hmm. I think she was just sort of emotionally traumatized.
Yep, she's a rescue dog. We don't know where she came from, but...
She's rescued us.
I was actually going to say, I want to make it clear that she did not rescue me. I am the one that rescued her. So, don't get it twisted.
Noted.
It was me. Noted. Slash us.
She's pulling some fucking pretty cute moves right now, I gotta be real with you. I don't think I've ever seen her quite fold up like this before. What's going on?
I don't know. She's a funny dog. We're all still, you know, we're all learning how to live together, how to coexist, just like the bumper sticker says. So this is the big new news with us is that we have a dog now.
That's about it. Power went out today at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And like a fucking hero man, I fucking handled that shit.
Yeah. I guess you did.
Yeah, I got the generator working again.
You did.
This shit wasn't
You called working. And you troubleshooted it with somebody.
That's right. And it wasn't easy to make a phone call with no power either.
That's right.
We had to use the dreaded landline.
I know.
Usually just a receptacle for receiving spam calls. I tell you, the second that I installed that line, it immediately rang, and it was immediately spam. which was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And you just imagine is a robot just dialing like 1,000 numbers at a time.
Somebody
and just
was sitting at their desk, and they were like, "Johnson, you know what you have to do. You wait until that line is set up, and then you call it." Johnson's just sitting at his desk, sitting sweating.
It's the red phone. He's been sitting by the red phone for years.
Just presses the one button, and the one button just calls our house phone.
Yeah, and it's not connected.
Yeah, and our cordless phone was dead because last night our internet went out, and Jamie said that he heard someone rustling, or he thought he heard...
No. I didn't say someone. Well, that was you inserted that with your paranoia. I said I heard something, which I did.
And
I think I was just hearing wind.
And in my mind, I was like, somebody is here to attack us, and they've cut not the power, but the internet somehow. Okay, they've detached the internet, and they're going to wait until we go to sleep, and they're going to attack us. And I was like imagining somebody standing outside in the dark watching us inside, you know, through our windows. Because, you know, when the light's on inside and you're standing in the dark outside, you can see in, but they can't see out.
That's right.
But we can't see out.
Look at this dog trying problem solve. Getting down.
All right, get over here. Yeah, she was like, this is a little too much for me.
Yeah.
Guys are bantering a little too hard.
I love her. I mean, this dog, okay. This dog was described to us as a dog that leapt over a 6-foot fence in one jump. And yet, when she pulls herself up on the couch,
she's very lazy about it.
She puts her front feet up and then just drags her belly and the rest of her feet up. Like, she hasn't figured out that she can just use her legs.
I mean, she does use her legs, but she does it very lazily. Sometimes lazier than other times.
We know that she can jump crazy high. At some point, we're going to have to see if we can train her to...
To jump higher? To jump,
like, catch a frisbee or some shit. Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, yeah. We'll train her to fetch, because I've also tried to fetch with her, and she doesn't get it.
She's not interested.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think that she jumped over that 6-foot-high fence because she was motivated to by the fact that she... Yeah, exactly, because she was not happy. I mean, they're very nice people, and I'm sure it's like, you know, I'm sure they do as good as they can. But when you're a dog in a shelter, you know, amongst just a ton of other dogs barking and, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, she shakes, and she doesn't. I think that she just shakes when she's surrounded by a bunch of prisoners.
Yeah.
Canine prisoners.
And now she's a spoiled little... Little dog.
She fucking adapted real quick. She's like, all right, so I'll take the couch. That's mine.
Yeah, she did. But the end of my story is that in my mind, there was somebody stalking us outside. And so I brought to bed and we had no Wi-Fi, so we couldn't make phone calls except for with the landline. So I brought the landline phone to bed, as well as a BB gun and an air horn.
You won't even take an air horn with you when you jog. It's amazing that you slept with one and a pink BB gun, might I add. I had an axe Medi, a machete axe.
You did have your machete axe there, and I asked if it was sheathed, and you said no.
No, it's not sheathed. I'm not gonna fucking.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Time to unsheath it before I chop a fucking intruder in half.
10 things I hate about you.
Just sank. I mean, I just showed you Terminator 2, which is by anyone's standards, just a fucking great movie. And you have shown me so far, let me list it, The Craft, which was, you know, I found something entertaining about it. Oh no, Heath Ledger's in this shit?
Yeah.
This is depressing already.
No, it's not depressing. It's a great, one of his best roles. And
damn, she had a streak, huh? She was in every movie in the 90s.
Yeah, what's her name? Julia...
Childs.
Oh, Julia Stiles. Yeah, Julia Stiles had a real moment in the 90s.
I feel like she was one of those people who, once she kind of got a little older, she just kind of grew into her face strangely.
No, I don't think so. I think she's pretty. But she was in stuff. She was in the Bourne Identity movies.
Yeah, I know. Which was really only one of those was good.
I remember seeing her riding the subway when I was a teenager, riding the subway in New York, and I was like, wow, celebs riding the subway.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Who else?
But wait, what did you say to me?
I just said I wish, I don't know, you tell me. I don't know.
You said I wish that there were good movies that you grew up with.
I mean, look, no disrespect to fucking 10 Things I Hate About You. I'm sure it's cute.
It's a great movie, and a lot of people love this movie.
Let's not use the word great,
it
though.
Is, you haven't seen it.
Just watched Terminator fucking 2.
Yeah, Terminator 2 is fine.
No, it's not fine. It's great. You know,
I mean, but it's you know, kind Kubrick of intense and
is
corny.
A great
and
director, you know.
Sure, Kubrick is great, yeah.
You know, romantic, you know, teen comedies can be fun, but
this is based on Shakespeare.
Great. I hear you.
But do you feel me?
I don't really. That's where it ends. All right, I'm going to give it a shot.
I know you're going to give it a shot. Because we're all mic'd up and we're sitting here and it's about to load. Okay, so here we go.
I'm just going to say right off the bat, did uh-huh. we all realize how bad music of the 90s was in the 90s?
I love 90s music. There's some great 90s music.
The shit that they were licensing for films was bad.
Well, maybe that
it
just
was
means
super
that
sort of, it was this weird production style of like the glossiness of the 80s sort of mixing style, but and
I think that means like that music directors were not doing a good job in the 90s because sure, it's not like there wasn't good music to sync.
I'm just saying every movie starts off with like some shrill fucking like song. All right, let's go. Let's see what this song is. Oh, this is the other thing. So you made me watch Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, which absolutely had a couple of comedic moments of brilliance for sure.
It's
I
a great
personally
movie.
Didn't think that it was
it's a cult classic.
Full, no doubt. I didn't love the whole movie, but there were moments that were
I didn't
inspired.
Love the whole movie of Terminator 2 either.
You sound like a fucking... You sound like a racist.
I know, it's just...
You sound like
after
a
while, it's boring to just watch like a car chase.
But dude, yo, we're not going to let you sit here and retroactively fucking change history. You were enthralled by the whole fucking movie, and there's
it
not one boring moment.
It was a little too long. It was a little
not
too long.
Not one boring moment. The only thing in that version that should have been cut...
Oh, I know, the Kyle Reese.
And it was cut from the original
of
movie.
Of course, but I think there's other places it could have been cut. It didn't
you're
need to be 2 hours and 40 minutes.
What the fuck are you talking? How am I in love with you? Why did this love betray me?
All right. We're going to watch this.
Don't shit on Terminator
2. I'm not shitting on it.
I'm preemptively shitting on 10 Things I Hate About You's opening song. That's ridiculous.
You're shitting on the whole movie, and actually you're shitting on all of the movies from my childhood. So,
well,
I think it's fair for
me
to...
I mean, that's a harsh way of putting it.
You put it pretty harshly. All right, we're watching 10 Things I Hate About You. And by the way, this is based on Taming of the Shrew by... William Shakespeare.
William Shatner.
There's a couple nods to that in this movie.
William Shakespeare.
We'll see if you can catch them all.
Yeah, because I'm very familiar with that book. All right, let's go.
You ready?
Yes, motherfucker.
Now, please enjoy listening to us watch 10 Things I Hate About You. Spoilers ahead.
Look at this great font opening. Oh, it's this song.
Can you turn it down?
I'm going to try to mix the sound better.
Yeah, let's be honest. This
live.
Is one of the worst fucking songs ever recorded.
It's bad. But it was a very popular song.
When I bust rhymes.
Andrew Keegan has a great role in this movie.
And here is where we meet Kat Stratford, a.k.a. The Shrew.
Yeah, she's the Shrew.
Oh shit, Daryl Mitchell's in this.
Who's that?
He was in House Party.
Oh, yeah, I think he plays the teacher.
I think that he was paralyzed. I think that he somehow got into an accident and got paralyzed at some point.
Daryl Mitchell was paralyzed from the waist down after a motorcycle crash in 2001, but has since continued his acting career and currently stars as Patton Plame on NCIS New Orleans. Also, his birthday is July 16th, the day after mine, so he's a Cancer, which we love to see.
I'm sure you won't find Padua any different than your old schools. Same little ass white shit for brains everywhere.
I love how in every one of these high school movies, there's always somebody who's like, okay, here's the layout. Okay, those are the freaks
here's
over
the
there.
Here's the exposition.
So she was the star of one of my favorite shows as a kid, Alex Mack. The Adventures of Alex Mack.
The show was actually called The Secret World of Alex Mack.
In which she played a teenager who could actually, much like in Terminator 2, she could turn into this blob.
A robot.
She could turn into like an amorphous little...
A child.
No, sweetie, I'm trying to tell you.
A bicycle.
She turned into a blob and it was her superpower and she could like melt and like go under doors and stuff.
Hmm.
The Adventures of Alex Mack.
I gotta say, man, the sound is so assaulting on these things, man.
I don't find it assaulting.
Okay.
I find it soothing.
I burn, I pine, I perish.
Of course you do.
See, that's from Shakespeare. I burn, I pine, I perish. Poor Gabrielle Union. She always got cast as like the hot black best friend to some like dumb white girl.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I mean,
a shitty fucking situation.
Get woke, sweetie. I mean, there weren't a lot of great roles, I guess,
hey, man,
in
didn't say I'm,
white dominated
don't,
movies.
Don't have to cast me as not woke. I'm fucking woke, bro. I love how they were just like imagining high school and being like, this is probably cowboys, right? Yeah. Fucking throw a group of cowboys in.
She's reading the bell jar. Which I feel like her character would have already read.
These movies all have a fucking, like, this shit and fucking, what was the other one that we saw that you erased by accident? That you forced me to watch? What was that?
That was She's All That.
It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's the one character who's like, they're, you know, they just, instead of showing that they're interesting, they just put like a fucking book in their hands. Like,
right.
Oh no, they read this. So there's, so you know.
Or they're like, she's cool. Like she pulls up next to these, you know, little twee girls.
She's different.
And she's like playing grungy music and everybody's like, damn, she's scary. It is really similar to She's All That, yeah. And that they're painting this one girl where everybody's like, oh my God, no, not her, but really she's just like a hot...
Yeah, just clearly beautiful.
Like, a hot,
smart,
skinny,
yeah,
smart chick. Yeah, both based on plays. That one is based on Pygmalion, and this one is based on Taming of the Shrew. I think this one is better than that one, though.
I think it's better also.
Yeah.
Already, as a movie.
Anyone cry today?
Yeah, it's funnier. Like, this character's funny, the teachers are funny.
I wouldn't know. Because I just saw him for the first time.
Yeah. I just thought we could savor it together. Just kind of pause
just
and
play.
Just
God.
Think about it.
And here is where we meet Kat and Bianca's dad and hear about his rule, which serves as the basis for the whole plot of the movie.
What are the two house rules? Number one, no dating till you graduate. Number two, no dating till you graduate. That's it.
Dad, that's so unfair.
Okay, here's how we solve this one. Old rule out. New rule.
Oh, here's a twist.
When she does.
But she's a mutant. What if she never dates?
Classic You'll Shakespearean twist.
And I'll get to sleep at night. The deep slumber of a father whose daughters aren't out being impregnated.
Now, I have gathered a group of guys, clipping what her Padua's finest.
It is funny that everybody just like gets on board. Like this guy met him the first day and he's like, sure. Like I will put my whole life on hold to kind of help you with this project.
I'm supposed to believe that nobody's interested in dating the really hot, smart girl?
Yes. Because she's known as a shrew.
No one will go
What about that hot Australian dude?
Yeah. I heard he lit a state trooper on fire. They paint him like a bad guy, and he's so fucking hot. He's like a model, and he's like...
He's also kind of got a sort of a Jerry Curl going.
He does have a Jerry Curl.
Like a
look at that Jerry
curl
glisten. It's like, generally speaking, these two characters, Kat Stratford and Patrick Verona, are pretty reasonable, except they just have these moments where they act like violent, and then you're supposed to believe that that's, you know, how they are.
Do you even know my name, Screwboy?
No, a lot more than you think.
Doubtful. Very doubtful.
Damn, she's such a shrew.
Damn, what a shrew bitch. I love the premise of these movies. It's always like everyone can agree that this person is just horrible, and she's just, you know.
She's awesome, actually.
Interesting, hot.
Okay, so a bunch of stuff happens. Cameron and Michael enlist the help of Joey to pay Patrick to go out with Kat, and they pretend they are doing it to help Joey date her sister Bianca and for social clout, when really they are manipulating Joey to help Cameron date Bianca. It's a lot. And now we're at one of my favorite scenes where Kat backs into Joey's car because he parked behind her outside a record store or something while Patrick looks on.
Whoops. My insurance does not cover PMS.
Yeah, this is a fucking weird movie.
Yep. It's also the second time somebody has said that she was, like, PMSing.
Has the fact that you're completely psycho managed to escape your attention?
I think it was pretty cool that she backed into his car. He blocked her in.
Every single character has accused her of having PMS.
Yeah. Yep.
When I shot at 50, I expect results. And I'm on it. Watching that bitch violate my car doesn't count as a
So get some,
bro.
Okay, so to catch you up, Cameron and Michael find out that Bogey Lowenstein, Michael's nemesis, is throwing a small party for future MBAs, and they blow it up by making a bunch of flyers for the party and dumping them down a staircase in the school. Then, Cameron, with the help of Bianca, investigates what makes Kat tick so that Patrick can make himself more appealing to her, and here they are meeting Patrick in a bar that serves high school kids, I guess.
This is what a bar looks like in movies.
Yeah, I know. Look at all these extras. Everybody's wearing a leather vest and hats, sunglasses.
And here's another problem. Bianca said that Kat likes pretty guys.
You're telling me I'm not a pretty guy?
Very pretty.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure. I didn't know.
He is a very pretty guy. They're just like, yeah, he's this, like, rough around the edges.
He's just a bad boy, you know?
Yeah.
Not for any reason, but we just, you are.
Feminist pros and angry girl music of the indie rock persuasion. There's a list of CDs that she has in her room.
I miss CDs.
You're supposed to buy her some noodles and a book, considering listening to Chicks Who Can't Play Their Instruments, right?
Dick.
Have you ever been to Club Skunk? Your favorite band's playing it.
I can't be seeing a club stuff, all right?
But she'll be there. She's got tickets.
Is this a sale to your ears for one night?
Ha, because the joke is that girl
I'm
bands are
tough.
Bad.
I'm too tough. I can't be seen. I can only be seen in this V-neck.
Yeah.
With this wet, parted hair.
Oh, my God. Look at his leather pants. His patent leather pants. God. So insulting. Just like, yeah, obviously only girls that look like this are gonna watch a girl band. Do you notice that every single person that's in this bar is a woman?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. They were just like, yeah, only chicks like girl rock.
Yeah, no, we stay away from, we know, Lord knows we stay away from the concerts that are filled with beautiful women in dresses.
Yeah.
It's just where they go to just hang out with each other.
I know.
You're here? There's no way you would come here. There's a vagina on stage.
You might ask me out again. You might as well just get it over. Do you mind if you kind of ruin this for me? You know, these guys are no pretenders.
Let me just compare them to the two girl bands that I know. Boy.
A boy is here.
In our secret girl club.
She's like, look, I've got to go back to the crowd that's only made up of beautiful women in sexy outfits with not one man.
Sweetie, your face is actually in your palm.
It's starting.
Probably didn't need to change that arbitrary rule about when your daughters could date. I'm glad that they have a nebbish Jewish guy in this movie, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God, can we just pause it for a second?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to say fuck the music director for this motherfucking movie.
I thought you said they weren't called the
music
director.
We're just calling it whatever you want. Dude, seriously.
I think there's some good music direction.
There was maybe one song that wasn't horrible. This is the rest of it is just fucking painful. It's just so goddamn shatteringly mid-rangey and fucking obnoxious.
No, well, it's too bad that they couldn't have you fucking behind the scenes making it awesome.
I would have fucking killed this shit.
Yeah. I would love to see you score or music direct a teen comedy romance.
Yeah, be fucking pretty dark. Be pretty dark.
Damn, it'd be pretty, what are the words that people used to describe you?
I'll kill you.
Be pretty dystopian movie, huh? Pretty Philip K. Dickian.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna suffer for that one.
Suck my dick.
Wait, look at the dog.
I know. She's really cute. Okay.
Do you think that we would, that when we got the dog, that it would fart and snore a lot?
I didn't think enough about it, I guess. All right. Here we go. So the idea is that he... You know, this was supposed to be just a small party. Bogey is not expecting all these people, but then they somehow he's the only one that didn't see that his flyer had been changed and mass produced and spread around the whole school. Mm. I love that. Oh, yeah, and they just bust down the doors. Everybody at once. And just like that, there's turntables set up and a sound system.
I gotta say, I feel like these movies are made by people who have a deep-seated disdain for youth.
Absolutely.
Just a fucking simmering, seething resentment.
I mean...
And fear. And deep misunderstanding.
Probably to some degree. I mean... You know, of course, with a blockbuster like this, there's always, like, higher-up execs and stuff and people that get involved and... I mean, you know the biz, right?
Huh? Why is she being so goddamn angsty?
Well, she's angsty, but she's drunk. She got really drunk. And now she's dancing.
Oh, shit. What?
Because she's wasted.
Why did she get this wasted again? What was the source of her angst?
Well, you'll find out more later, but she was really upset about the fact that her sister was hanging out with that guy, Joey.
Okay. Didn't she go into some movie, like, was she hip-hop dance?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
She sure did. Save the Last Dance.
And it's probably where they got the idea. They saw that scene and they were like, wait a second.
Save the Last Dance is one of the worst piece of shit movies.
I mean, I could only, I wouldn't watch it at gunpoint.
I'll just tell you that there is a scene where she's walking in the cab. Because what the okay, so just real quick, Save the Last Dance is about Julia Stiles' character, who her mom dies or something, and she has to go live with her dad, and he lives in like the inner city, and so she ends up going to a black high school, and she's like a trained ballet dancer, but you know, so
but she has to find her inner
strength,
fucking B-girl.
Sort of. I mean,
just a hip hop dance.
Well, she does have to hip hop dance. I forget the actor's name.
You know, we all teaches have her to hip hop dance at some point in our lives. Sweetie.
No, but there's a scene where she's with Kerry Washington, who like is the chick that takes her under her wing, and befriends her. And there are these kids dancing in the cafeteria, and Julia Stiles' character is looking, and Kerry Washington goes, "What? It's just a little hip hop."
It's just a little hip hop.
Exactly. Anyway,
I feel like there was just
a little hip hop.
Probably 20 of those movies made it in like a 5-year period.
Really?
Yeah, even Jessica Alba was in one. She was like,
honey?
Yeah, I teach hip hop down at the rec center.
I know. I mean, come on. That's the best line ever. Then there's the Step Up movies. I think they're always saving rec centers in those movies.
Rec centers are some of the least stable businesses that you could possibly open. At any given time, rec center is on the verge.
Yeah,
of
they're
collapse.
Always subject to being, you know, taken over or sold.
Just mismanagement, ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, and they're always being saved through dance somehow.
That's the easiest way to save a rec center. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Don't worry, this movie isn't as long as Terminator 2.
You just said
2.
You have a concussion?
Yeah. She hit her head. He's being like, responsible, dude.
How would he know she had a concussion?
Well,
it's like a medical fucking diagnosis.
He's just guessing that she has a concussion. Meanwhile, earlier in the movie, this drunk girl came up to him and was like, kiss me. And he was like, kiss that guy. Instead of being like, oh, you should sit down.
Yeah, and then later he's in the hallway and the guy was like, thank you, because they're full on making out.
And then he drops her.
Basically, he's passed him off to someone for her to get date raped.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. Is that
there's a lot of sort of casual rape implied in a lot of these movies. Date rape, at least.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
you know,
and a classic example is 16 Candles.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, it's straight up just a plot. It's just straight up a full on.
Yeah.
Like acknowledged plot
detail
that, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think you did fuck me last night when I was passed out. And the crazy thing is, I think I liked it.
I know. It's very disturbing.
It is disturbing.
It's off. Okay, the whole thing's off.
What are you talking about?
She never wanted me. She wanted
Chubby
the whole time.
Cameron, do you like the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, and is she worth all this trouble?
It's also interesting that the guy who would accept money to go on a date with a girl and like pursue her this much for money.
I can't listen to both at the same time. It's really hard to listen to yelling in Australian and you speaking in what I think is American.
Fine, Jamie. What I'm saying is that it's weird that this character is the same guy who would accept money to date a woman, but now he's just being like Mr. Good Guy. He's like, listen, I gotta get her home.
This is what they do in every one of these movies. They sort of try and set the person up like a bad boy, but then they don't act like a bad boy at any point.
He's a bad boy with a heart of gold.
That just immediately has a heart of gold.
Yeah. Okay.
It was like that fucking other movie. What was that movie? This is the same movie.
It's pretty similar to She's All That.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're back at school, the Monday after the party in which Kat got drunk, danced on a table, hit her head, and then Patrick carried her out of the party, took care of her, drove her home, and then rejected her when she tried to kiss him.
All right, not that I give a damn, but how was everybody's weekend?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should ask Kat. Unless you kick the crap out of your dumb butt, I don't want to hear about it. Okay, let's open up our books to page 73.
He's rapping Shakespeare. It's cool, babe.
I know Shakespeare's a dead white guy, but he knows his shit.
What if she just turned into a blob?
That is an Alex Mack reference.
It'd be amazing. Gotta show you that show sometime.
I'd just like to point out something.
Yes.
Both this movie and the other movie that we watched, she's all whatever.
She's all
real
that.
Whack.
Good one, babe.
Neither of the characters are developed at all. I don't think they're interesting at all. I don't think.
Which characters?
The lead female characters. They just. Yeah. It's all supposition that they're interesting. It's not anything that they do. This fucking character has done not one thing that's interesting.
She went to a concert. Okay, that's kind of interesting. She's looking at a guitar, even though she doesn't know how to play one.
I know.
She kind of talks smart. I think she's pretty fun, like quippy. She's good and quippy. You know, like when she was in the car with Patrick Verona and she kept shitting on him.
I'm going to get up for a second.
All right. We're going to pause.
Getting up actually turned into a two-day intermission, but here we are, back with the second half of 10 Things I Hate About You.
So, it's been 2 days since we started watching this movie. We took a two-day...
Much-needed two-day intermission. We were all exhausted after that first half.
Yeah, I was fine.
I think we were all exhausted.
So do you remember what's happening?
Let me see. She's there's a girl. She's unique and weird.
Okay.
And she's interesting, and because she reads books, and she's angry. And then there's a dude, and he's
right,
hot because he's
fine.
Australian, and he's got this
that's
fucking
not...
crazy hair. His hair's look at it. It's parted in the middle and long and curly
all
at
right,
the same time.
Sweetie, that's not.
That is what's happening.
No, what's happening is that Patrick Verona is starting to fall for Kat Stratford, aka the Shrew. Even though she doesn't know that there's actually a whole...
He's being paid, right?
He's being paid by Joey, who's the douchebag, who wants to go out with her sister because her sister can't go out unless Kat is going out with somebody. But also...
Also, can I just point out that that's fucking a really silly plot point?
It's based on Shakespeare.
Well, you know, he had his ups, he had his downs.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what's happening.
I thought that was funny. Thank you for blowing that off.
Oh.
I thought that was a pretty good one.
Sorry.
You're just like... anyway.
I didn't mean to blow it off. Sorry.
No, it's cool.
So.
No, you want me to participate in this fucking thing, but, you know, you're just going to fucking shit on me.
I laugh at you all the time.
Yeah, you laugh at me.
I laugh
just
at your jokes.
Shit right on my chest, aren't you?
Ew. I want to, by the way, provide an update to a past episode and say that my father Zoomed me today, and he apparently watched Terminator 1 last night because he felt that I did not give Kyle Reese a fair shake.
Yeah.
And he called me today to say that I was a little too hard on Kyle Reese. That I should really consider the fact that Kyle Reese grew up in a very tough time.
That's right.
In the future.
Tough childhood.
He had a very tough childhood and adulthood. He'd never been with a woman. And he, you know, volunteered to go back in time and sacrifice himself to have Sarah Connor, to have John Connor, and then die.
Do you think that part of it was kind of like, yeah, maybe I'll just hang out there because it really sucks here in the future? So maybe I'll just, like, it's, he sort of paints it as like,
yeah,
that was just a,
he makes it sound very heroic.
Yeah. One way journey, you know, it's like very heroic. But then when you think about it, it's like, but
he got to run naked through a shopping mall and, you know, you couldn't do that in the future.
There were no, there, you couldn't be naked in the future.
That's right.
Too many robots.
That's so true. And so, you know. Yes, but his point was well taken. I may have been a little too hard on him.
That's how I felt.
I still stand by the fact that Kyle Reese is kind of like annoying and corny.
Dude, he's stressed.
But I do think that he's probably just a product of his environment.
He is, and he's incredibly handsome.
He's handsome-ish. He's handsome.
I think he's a very attractive man.
He's handsome, but I don't think he's sexy. You know what I mean?
He's pretty sexy.
Well, fine.
If I had to choose
between
who would I fuck, Arnold Schwarzenegger or
Arnold,
Kyle Reese?
Definitely Arnold.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's I think that there are aspects of Arnold that would annoy me, turn me off, you know?
His personality or his body?
Well, he has a penis. That would probably, you know,
yeah,
turn me off immediately. It's his vibe.
Interesting.
I'm an alpha. I feel like Kyle would, you know,
be more submissive.
Yeah.
Okay.
he's more emotional.
Yeah, I hear you. He's a little more sensitive, except that he's not really. He's kind of emotionally stupid, I think. But
I didn't say he was emotionally intelligent. Oh. I just said that he's, you know, sensitive.
Okay, great. Well, that was our that was our letterbox for the day. Our letter bag.
In other words, if I had to fuck a man or a robot from the future,
you're gonna go with the man.
I'm gonna go probably with the man. I don't like being. I feel like Arnold would just dominate me.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
He's the Terminator.
I mean, the Terminator would dominate me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to 10 things I hate about you.
Yeah, we're gonna keep watching it. You know, there's a lot going on. So
there really isn't that much going on.
I'm sure we're all excited to find out what happens.
We know what happens.
In the thrilling conclusion. You don't know what happens.
I fucking know what happens. Trust me. I don't need to see the end of this movie to know what happens.
Well, unfortunately for you, you will see the end of this movie.
That's true.
There's a sleeping dog beside me. She's pushed
me. Just let it lie.
That's funny, sweetie.
Thanks, babe.
Okay, let's watch this movie.
All right, let's get it over with.
Hold on. I'm trying to perfect the sound.
She's just gonna sit down and just start learning guitar in Guitar Center or whatever. Mm-hmm. Damn, she's just closing her eyes playing that guitar. One note at a time, slowly.
Sweet love, but you got force.
Hey.
Don't say shit like that to me. People can hear you.
Look, you embarrassed the girl.
Shakespeare.
Sacrifice yourself on the altar of dignity, even the score.
Oh, yeah. This scene, I forgot. How could I forget? Sweetie, what do you think he's going to do? Do you have any idea what's coming? What do you think?
He's going to sing something to her, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, you can. You have to.
I don't know if I can deal with this.
Stop. Shh. It's good.
Sweetie, I had to live through Tom Cruise and Top Gun, and I hurt a lot.
Shh.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got moves.
I see hints of a future Joker. That's interesting. Pause this for a second.
I'm going to pause it in the middle of the best part.
Wait a second. No, no, no. This is a serious thing.
Okay.
So here we have Heath Ledger kind of doing the same vibe that Joaquin Phoenix did in The Joker, down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Heath Ledger, of course, being the most famous Joker.
Mm-hmm.
This is really interesting.
You think he's more famous than Jack Nicholson?
Well, I don't know, sweetie, but I think that his portrayal of the Joker was very iconic, and he passed away. It made it even more iconic. So that's really interesting. I wonder if Joaquin Phoenix was paying tribute to him.
Maybe.
Watch this. Let me see.
I've seen this a million times.
No, I know. I'm just saying play it.
Oh, now you want me to play it? Okay.
Or
sure.
I could leave. I mean, that's an option.
It's not an option, actually. Okay, I'm going to play it. Okay, we'll spare you the rest of that song, but needless to say, Kat forgives Patrick Verona and then does the next logical thing, which is to break him out of detention by flashing her teacher, and now they are on a pedal boat.
Are they in the middle of a fucking giant lake?
I think it's that river that's in Seattle.
What the fuck type of budget-ass paintball is this?
It's
Will you just throw the paintball?
Yeah, it's for fun and romance, sweetie. Jesus.
Yeah.
And you wear white jumpsuits, like pristine white jumpsuits.
Exactly the type of fun I had in the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about 90s music anymore.
After their fun day of boating, paint throwing, and making out, Patrick asks Kat to the prom, but Kat is suspicious and questions his motives.
Nothing. There is nothing in it for me, just the pleasure of your company. Okay?
No, it's something else. I suspect, for no reason, that you have an ulterior motive.
Maybe because she's intuitive and he does have an ulterior motive.
That's not the point, okay? She doesn't know that.
What are you hiding? Okay?
I'm hiding mad shit.
I'm down. I've got the 411. And you are not going out and getting jiggy with some boy. I don't care how
the
right is.
The thing is, the adults in this
They're
movie are
really
pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Real World Seattle. Classic.
They're like, we've got to show the real world. They showed the real world in the other movie.
Yeah,
that was
right.
A part of it. Jesus, right. It's the same movie.
It's a huge cultural touchstone.
Now here we are at the prom, where everything is about to come to a head.
What is it with the 90s, man? Why is the 90s, why is everyone so goddamn sexless and fucking just smiley and just goofy? Like there's just nothing.
I missed the opportunity to say here that I myself was pretty sexless and goofy in the 90s.
Well, this is the primarily white teen 90s that they're...
I just don't understand.
White teen Hollywood 90s.
Fucking 80s teen movies were so much better.
Here's where the thing happens that we all saw coming. Joey sees that Bianca is at prom with Cameron and yells at Patrick that he didn't pay him to take out Kat so someone else could take Bianca to prom, and Kat hears. And she's not that happy about it.
Really, what was it like? A down payment now and then a bonus for sleeping with me?
No, I didn't care about the money, okay? I care about you.
You are so not who I thought you were.
Sorry, Heath Ledger Joker. Looks like the final laugh isn't on you, but it's near you.
Shush.
You're not laughing much.
Back at their gigantic house on a beautiful day in Seattle.
Yeah, where's this fucking neighborhood, man? God damn. Listen, when your mother left... Nice metaphor. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the dugout and you're just... and I'm just trying to select a bat, you know what I mean? And it's like, I know I'm probably not even going to make it to the plate. I'm not even going to get my shot today, but I still suit it up.
And it's like there's 3 innings and there's two out. Yep. And they've got a pinch hitter on second. And then I realize...
It's like, now I'm going to kick a field goal to the... Right into the bleachers.
I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive my car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. I hate you so much it makes me sick. It even makes me rhyme. I hate it. I hate the way you're always right. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you make me laugh.
What the fuck are you...
Shut up.
This is about him?
Yes, obviously.
She really played it cool there. What the fuck? But it was like a Dr. Seuss fucking rhyme. I will not eat it on a cliff. I will not eat it in a house.
I like that he just
I will not eat it with a dog. I will not eat it with a mouse.
Okay. I like that he just sat there with his leather bracelet and barely reacted to her, even though she's crying.
Oh, I got you that guitar you can't play.
Anyway, so that's 10 Things I Hate About You. One of my favorite all-time teenage movies.
Really? How do you feel about it still?
I really enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I never noticed all the references to, like, crackheads and crack whores or whatever.
There's a couple of weird little things in there for sure.
That was weird.
And then there would just be, like, some, like, it's like this sort of...
Talking to Mike.
Talk in the back.
Just say
park in the bike.
Just say whatever you're used
park
to.
Park in the bike.
Sweet.
Just park right in the bike. It was. It's just. It's like sort of this lighthearted movie, and no one's really even cursing or anything. And then they'll just come out with like some crazy lewd shit.
Yeah.
It's just weird. There's like this strain under, like this undercurrent of, like pretty graphic. Hold on. Pretty graphic.
God damn it.
What? Sweetie, I love
you. We're recording a podcast.
I mean, you know, are we?
Yes.
Or are we just recording a little bit of life? A little slice of heaven. You know, it'll just be like, I don't know, it's just strange. Just be like a little vignette, you know, the teacher would just be like, his throbbing member.
Right.
It's just this weird, like, it's like one writer on the whole script doctored it with like really weird, almost pornographic shit.
But I mean, it's funny. I think it's funny. I forgot. Yeah. Allison Janney has a really funny role in this movie.
Who's that?
She plays the guidance counselor.
Oh yeah. Brief, but relatively funny.
Yeah. She's got a couple scenes.
It's like they had different writers for different characters. Like, there was one writer for the adults, and that writer's really pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
I mean, they slipped and in all that, like, kind of funny shit with the adults, and then it all still fit into the, like, confines of this, you know, pretty typical
that's
teen
That's what
movie.
I liked about it. How they just kind of went off on some sort of random comedic shit. That stuff was good. I cannot stand the dynamic between the main characters. I just can't deal with it. It reminds me really of that. What was that other one? She's All That.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one had. There was nothing there. There's just nothing there.
Yeah. No, it's very similar. They have a lot of the same elements, but I think this one is better because it is maybe a little bit more self-aware.
This one's better. The other one, though, did have, what's his name, which was actually...
Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, no, his part is very funny. That whole fake real world thing and his character
You know
is
he's
very
supposed
funny.
To be Puck, right? I think that's
Yeah. I did know that.
Well,
that was 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yep, and now I've got one that I hate about you.
One thing you hate about me?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
This movie.
Okay. Good night. Until next time. Thanks for listening.
I love you.
Okay.
The Panducto Quarantcast is created by me, Emily Panic, and Jamie Moline. Editing and production is by me. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. If you want. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.